So don't put me down, but I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little Deuce Coupe, you don't know what I got.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We are dancing in the studio this morning at Pep Talk. We have our friends here with Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze. We are dancing up to Little Deuce Coupe. Got a full house this morning. Ken Chartel, the owner of Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze, and
good morning,
his
son,
man. Kenny Chartel, is here.
Good day.
And his wife, Sarah, is here.
Hello.
Hey, Sarah. And a special guest, hello, Jim.
Joe.
I see.
Yo, Joe. Good morning.
Yo, Joe. I had a 50% chance of getting that right. Joe. And Joe, what's your last name?
Holden.
Joe Holden is here. So welcome, guys. We got lots to talk about this morning in terms of auto care. And what's nice about this show is that just like the Garden Line, you can call in to this auto show. It's the car show. And we call it that because you may have some questions about your vehicle, something you want to know, a question or a comment. Text it in this morning, 850-437-1620. That's why we call it the Pensacola Expert Panel. Because I'm telling you, we have the auto experts in the house on the car show right now.
Well, thank you, Meg. It's been always a pleasure being able to join you here in the studio. And, of course, to all of our listeners, thank you. And hopefully our car care tips are helping you get a little bit farther down the road than the last check engine light.
Right. That's right.
Again, we've been in service for over 30 years now. Isn't that right, Dad? December 1st, 95 is when you started Affordable Automotive.
Exactly.
Wow.
We're over there at Gulf Breeze, actually a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo, for those that don't know, right at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. And, of course, remember, you can always reach us at our online website, affordableautomotivegulfbreeze.com, or just give us a call to schedule an appointment at 850-932-0811. Our topic today, I think we were going to touch a little bit on, well, what we always see when we get in those cars is those pesky engine lights and service lights and what those warning lights mean and do and how soon should I get those taken care of.
You have just brought out all the questions I have, because when that little light goes on, my heart goes,
Now what?
What do I do? What does this mean?
Is it red?
Yikes.
Is it yellow?
Yes.
Is it blue? How
help.
Important is this?
Exactly. Can I ignore it? How long can I ignore it? Okay, help us out here, guys.
Where's a picture I can put over it?
Well, sometimes it looks like an engine. Sometimes it looks like a battery. Sometimes it's red. Sometimes it's orange. It has all kinds of, I'm sure, meanings that are in that owner's manual that I've never read.
Don't worry. You're not the only one. But remember, it is always there for reference. There was a lot of time spent on that manual or
I'm
CD.
I'm sure.
Right?
I'm sure. So tell us. Tell us, what should we do?
Well, of course, the advent of the engine light has come about with computers and having electronics on our cars, allowing us to get a deeper dive into what may be going wrong with the vehicle. You know, the computer offers a lot of abilities in terms of checking components and sensors and notifying us when things, well, aren't right. You know, when my dad started off in this industry, if you had a car running rough, the only thing to let you know that was you. You had to know how the car felt. If it all of a sudden had no power one day or started running rough, there was no engine light at that time for you to go run down to the store and say, plug in, what could be my problem, you know?
No, that's true. It was all feeling your fingertips.
Figuring
out what was going wrong with it. And was it ignition? Was it fuel? You know, what it might be.
Absolutely. And so, you know, with the advent of the computer, the computer helps us diagnose cars a little bit easier. But with that light, it doesn't mean you need to go straight to replacing that part just because of an engine code. There is still diagnostics needed. But each engine code has a little different level of severity. Obviously, some are red. Some are yellow, some are even blue, and there's different meanings to each of those. Obviously, if you've got a red light normally at a stoplight, that means stop. And in your car, a red light coming on your dash.
Means stop.
So basically, red light for dummies.
Like yeah, that would work just fine. Absolutely. You know, a lot of your warning lights have different colors associated with them for that reason. But, you know, some of your red warning lights could be as simple as an oil pressure warning light. Maybe you see that oil can That could be a number of things: low oil, low pressure, sensor issue. Again, more diagnosis. But you also have another red light that's pretty important: your temperature light. And I'm sure some of us who have coolant leaks have maybe seen that temperature or overheat light come on. And then, of course, your brake light with ABS and things like that. That's another red vital light. So if you see those, that's definitely something that you need to have checked out pretty soon. Bring it by our shop, and certainly with the computers, we can scan and at least get an idea what those codes are doing.
I do have a question that just came in on the text line, and it's relevant to what you're talking about, Kenny. 850-437-1620. The question is, okay, so when the light comes on, do I need to go immediately to get it looked at, or do I have a little window of time?
Well,
that's a good question.
Again, what color is it?
Another tip there, is it flashing at you?
Yes, if it's flashing at you, you need to go right away.
That's exactly how I think. I think, do I need to, I'm on my way to work. Do I need to stop on the way to work, or can I wait till next week? How long can I have this light?
Right. And yeah, again, it still goes back to feel, like in the old days, you still need to turn that radio down and kind of get a feel for the car. You drive it often, you know when it's running good or not. And,
it's like not feeling good. You know when you feel good, you know when you don't feel good.
Exactly. So. And the car's the same thing.
It's telling you the same thing.
So but probably they should take it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get it looked at. And remember, most of your auto parts stores will do a free code scan for you today, as well as us at Affordable. So always be sure to swing on by if you have an issue. But if you're not close by, you can go by a local auto parts store, and they'll usually run that code for you. Of course, at that time, you can do your own investigation online. There's lots of good and bad information, so be careful there. But and then at that point, you can always get it scheduled. But how severe is it, or how can it wait till after lunch, or
right,
when I get home?
Yeah, that's what I think the listener's asking that question.
That engine light may pop on and stay on. Okay, well, let's get that looked at as soon as we can. But I don't think it's something that you need to pull right over for. Now, on the other hand, if that light is blinking at you, not just
correct,
solid on, then that might be an indication not only with the light, but maybe in the car that you're feeling noises again. That misfire or something like that. And that engine light's now flashing at you.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're feeling that along with the engine, telling you, and that warning light that's flashing as well. So, you don't know until you hook it up, but that indicator light will at least let you know the severity. Flashing, no good. If you got a light, you got a little bit of time. But again, it's important to stay on top of these when they pop up.
Okay.
Other lights like the battery light, or the picture of a battery, that needs to be checked right away. Another one is, if you see that hot light come on or the temperature gauge going on, you need to look at that right away. Mm-hmm. Don't let those go by.
Okay. So, and then I see on your notes here about a brake system. What does that one look like? The brake system warning light.
Well, that's the one that says ABS, and mm-hmm. that's usually an amber light. And if the vehicle has skid control, that's where you're watching the car. There's a picture or a light that lights up where the car looks like it's sliding back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's for your traction control. And then there's a red brake light, and that either means that you have your parking brake on or emergency brake on, or it comes on once the ABS triggers, and that's a red light then to let you know you got an issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then if someone wanted to, could they call you and ask you about it over the phone at least? Or
absolutely.
Is there a number they could reach out to get to you?
Yeah, our customers and those with concerns are always welcome to call at 850-932-0811 at Affordable Automotive. And we answer lots of questions daily. Our service writer, Mark, up front is very knowledgeable about this stuff, along with our experience in the back. If there is a question, we're always happy to answer it. Of course, most things these days really need a flashlight look over, or, mm-hmm. To plug that scanner in to kind of get a good idea. But generally speaking, we try to do our best at answering the questions, especially if they've got a code that they've already scanned from the vehicle. We can give them, a list of possible causes for something like that as well.
Here you go. I've got another question from one of our listeners. This is great, and this is exactly the kind of thing we'd love to have you text into us on the car show this morning. Here's the question from the listener. My check light came on, and I went to a parts store, and the code they pulled up is a O2 sensor issue. What is this? And how critical is this?
Well, the O2 is your oxygen sensor. Depending on the engine, you'll have either two or four. If it's a V engine, you'll have four of them. If it's an inline four-cylinder, you'll have two of them. What those do is it is the final check for the computer to see how good it is done. And the O2 then sniffs the exhaust to see how much oxygen is left in the system. And once it reads that, it then reports back to the computer to say, hey, you are a little too rich for those milliseconds. Lean down. It was too lean, riching up. So that's what that O2 does. It's the final check for the computer to tell whether the computer is doing its job correctly.
Wow,
okay. And for those that aren't sure, what is rich and lean, guys?
I just was going to say, you lost me.
What is
me.
Acidic and alkaline? Yeah.
You'll have to ask the garden shop for that.
Okay, yeah, we did talk about that earlier. That's true. So, yeah, so again, what
is rich
mean?
And lean?
Well, rich is when there's way too much fuel in the mixture for the engine. Lean is when there's not enough fuel in the mixture for the engine. And that is it has to meet a very good balance of 14.1:7. And that is the ratio of gasoline to molecules of air.
Wow. Okay.
And that being said, you know, those sensors play a critical role in fuel economy. If you have a sensor, if it's an upstream, because there's up and down, and they all contribute to how well that engine manages performance and fuel. Obviously, like he said, it's the last check before that exhaust goes out the tailpipe. And the engine, if it's seeing an abundance of fuel and that oxygen sensor isn't working, it may not, you know, of course, now my mileage is all of a sudden gone down. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not getting quite the distance I used to. It smells a little bit more rich or fuely, if you will. So those are some of the common things that we may see as far as an oxygen sensor. Of course,
what is the fix, quote unquote, for that?
More often than not, it's an actual replacement of that oxygen sensor.
Oh, okay.
They can vary in price, you know, as these electronics get more sophisticated, they can get upwards of $200 depending on the type of oxygen sensor. And without getting too detailed there, each vehicle is different, so it's always important to make sure that what you're replacing is the correct replacement.
Well, this is the car show, and we're getting some very good answers, some tough questions this morning. And if you have a question about your vehicle or something that has to do with your car, 850-437-1620. I got one that just came in about tires, guys. It's cold, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot. What do I do about my tires? That's a pretty good question.
Check them often and make sure they're right around that manufactured specified air pressure. You know, most all
remember, there's that sticker in the door.
That's exactly
driver's
the
side.
Sticker in the door tells you what your tire pressure should be.
Absolutely. Yes. Driver's side door, usually in the jam there. There's going to be a sticker that shows, you know, front and rear, what they want for front and rear tire pressure. Mm-hmm. Usually cold, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And so, yes, with this temperature going from hot to cold and hot to cold, it is important to at least keep those tires properly inflated. Obviously, as the temperature heats up and, you know, if that pressure rises a little bit because of the temperature, that's okay. But it's certainly never a good thing to have them riding low on tire pressure, of course.
Because I've heard that. I've actually heard someone saying you want them lowered during the winter months. Is that true? Or is that just a wives' tale?
Well, they'll usually sit lower in the wintertime just because of the colder temperatures and the nature of air molecules, hot and cold, obviously. And so when that colder temperature comes down, obviously that tire pressure usually drops too. And with that, it's a good time to make sure that they're right up to that 35, 40. Some vehicles require a little higher pressure. And so again, it's important to check what your exact manufacturer specifies on that.
Okay, great. Thank you for sending that in. We've got another text that came in from a listener. That's 850-437-1620. This is The Car Show with Affordable Automotive and Gulf Breeze. And it says, good morning. What an informative show. So compliments to you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
And we would appreciate your thoughts. We are considering buying either a Honda CR-V 2024 Toyota, let me see, RAV 2024, or a Honda Pilot 2024. Does one stand out to you as a winner? Thank you.
They're great choices, in my opinion, either
all
or.
Three?
Any three of those three, I'm right there.
So Honda versus Toyota versus a Pilot versus a RAV versus a CR-V.
It comes down to comfort features at that point. What car feels, you know, better with you in it? You know, how do you like
the layout of the dashboard?
Yeah.
Some of them, you know.
What's the ease of getting to the AC?
Yes.
You know, how easy is it to change your radio presets? While these things seem silly, after a couple weeks of driving it, and you go, dang it, this AC button or whatever it is so difficult, you know, that can be a big deterrent. It can be a hassle. And, you know, the quality between a Toyota and Honda, I would say, are pretty close. You rarely have one outdoing the other. They stand strong in terms of their reliability, I will say.
Is 2024 a good year, like a bottle of wine?
Certain things anymore, you don't want them to age too long.
Just checking. Just checking. Great question.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, something that's new like that. You know, of course, there's great reports out there. You can always get a Carfax. Carfax report.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah.
Remember, there's collision Carfax reports, and there's service Carfax reports. So our shop at Affordable Automotive has gotten that part of technology where every vehicle that comes through, it's not only documented in our system, but it goes out to the World Wide Web of Carfax information. So for any dealership or small automotive repair business like ours that's a part of this, that history fact should show up with the vehicle. Now, there's a caveat to that. It's only as good as the person entering in the information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while most shops these days do have that information and ability to get that service onto those reports, some may not. But for this particular call, I would say if the ability is there to get that service history report from Carfax, that would
important.
Be another key piece of information. You know, for any used car, whether it be a 2024 or 2010, maintenance is always the key, and you never know how well somebody has maintained the vehicle unless they have some great records of it.
And
you know?
Don't those reports often have whether that car had been in an accident?
Certainly.
That's really important to know, too.
Absolutely.
Because when you recycle some of these used cars, you want to make sure that this has been taken care of, right?
And cosmetically, it may look great.
Right.
But remember, there's a lot of electronics and over 20 miles of wire in these cars. So if you get a little more than a fender bender while everything was replaced, there may be a wire somewhere that got pinched that mm-hmm. may not show up for a little mm-hmm. while. So yes and no. Rebuilt cars, you just never know. Absolutely.
Okay. Great question. Got another one that came in. This is Pep Talk, and it's with Affordable Automotive for the Car Care Show. Here's a question. I have a 77. This is from Paul, who was just in the studio with us. I have a 77 Dodge Power Wagon. Has a slight transmission leak. I love the word slight transmission leak. Mm-hmm. Are y'all able to check it out?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, we can check those out on being an old 77. That would be a transmission I would still be willing to rebuild at the shop.
You've got experience with it, do you, Ken?
With the old 904s, 727 yeah. transmissions, yes, I do, quite a bit.
Okay.
So I used to build transmissions. Actually, my buddy Joe, who's in the shop with me, he used to come back to the shop after we closed, and him and I would work building transmissions or removing dashboards.
Is that the Joe that's sitting here right now?
Yes,
all right, Joe, pull that microphone down so we can hear from you.
Yeah, that would be me.
Okay, so with your
so the long history of Joe, he's known my dad since the business started.
Correct.
They worked behind the shop, and one day, as a huge car guy, he walked on over, and the rest is history. Or something like that, Joe.
Pretty much.
30 years worth of history.
Wow.
30 years worth of history.
So you would know about that transmission from a 77.
I've watched Ken rebuild tons of transmissions.
Okay, okay.
The guy that will hand him a tool and hang out.
Right.
But that's an important part of it, too.
And a parts washer. You always
okay.
need those, too.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, got another question that just come in. 850-437-1620. morning. This is the Car Show with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze on Pep Talk. Okay, the question is, 2013 Ford Explorer dashboard doesn't show hot or cold. Besides smoke, what can I look for?
Besides
smoke. I guess, how do you know if your engine's hot or cold is the question.
You know, I will say this. Some of these, again, not looking at the vehicle, but from my experience, a lot of those Fords have the ability to move that infotainment. So you might be looking at tire pressure, and you have to scroll up to get to coolant temp or transmission temp or mileage or trip A. You know, the Europeans are one that don't have a coolant temp gauge. BMW's one right off the top of my head that really doesn't have a coolant temp gauge. But your Fords typically always have a coolant temp gauge. Now, it may require going through some of that infotainment on the actual dashboard. Again, not being there, but there.
You should be able to cycle through and find the temperature.
I would think there should be a temperature. And yeah, the last thing you want to see is smoke coming out the hood, because exactly. By that time it's probably gotten hot.
Mm-hmm. Can our listener bring it into you to have you take a look at it?
Yeah, if it's just trouble trying to find where that may be, by all means, bring it in. We'll be happy to come out, sit in the vehicle, and we'll discover and uncover together.
Okay.
There is that infamous owner's manual.
Yes. Well, in case they've just joined us, where are you located?
Of course, we're over there in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo, 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. We're right on 98. You can't miss us. And of course, if you need to call in and make an appointment, 850-932-0811.
Okay, we've got another question that just came in on the text line, 850-437-1620. Talk about the pressure lights. Tire pressure lights. We were just talking about it a minute or so ago. Mine has come on. I filled my tires to correct the pressure, but it still stays on. Can I just reset it?
Most
or is that an indication maybe that I haven't got the right pressure?
It depends on the years of the vehicle. Toyota used to have a little reset button. Buick had a little reset button. After you aired them up, you would push this reset button. A lot of them do it now completely automatically. And if you're having an issue where that light's not going off and you have checked the tire pressure and you know your tire gauge is right, then there's a sensor in the wheel, and that sensor in the wheel has gone bad, and that's why that light is staying on and not, you know, it's not registering that the pressure that it's supposed to.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, a lot of times those sensors and those tires go bad, and that's not necessarily something we can take care of at Affordable Automotive, because the sensors for tire pressure are actually located inside of that rim. So the only way to replace them, you have to demount that rubber from the rim and then replace the sensor. Now, oftentimes, I'm not sure why, it doesn't seem to be a big upsell for the tire stores, but if you are in need or getting close to some new tires, then definitely think about getting those sensors replaced at the same time. While it's a little extra expense, it's less than having them put on and taken back off to put the sensors that should have been replaced the first time. So, again, I just as an experience thing there, they are driven by batteries, and those batteries do go, you know, they die eventually. So,
interesting.
Yes, it can be reset. Also, though, it may be an actual sensor problem. And don't forget about that spare, too, because some tire pressure some vehicles do put a sensor in that spare. My Toyota Tacoma has a spare tire pressure sensor. So after checking all four one day and getting frustrated saying, these tires are great, my light's still on.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know I had one in my tire pressure in that spare. So be smarter than okay. I was and check that too.
Okay, very good. So Joe, you're here. We've got just a minute or so left. What's been your experience with these guys?
Going on 30 years.
Wow.
And I mean, they're basically like family to me, and I hang out at the shop a lot of times, and just, I'm a car guy. So watching them work on the cars and fix the problems, and you know, it's always a puzzle when something comes in and you go through the diagnostic steps. And so I just really enjoy it. You know, I mean, the family's great. I watched them grow, and now they have, you know, a newborn and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've watched the shop grow over the years, and I mean, honestly, I can't say enough good things about them. I mean, they've been there for 30 years and always took care of the customers great. So to me, it was just fun hanging out and knowing they're good people, and we always have a good time together.
Well, that's a great testimonial. I can say the same thing. I've known these guys myself. They've taken care of my vehicles over the years. And that's the thing, is be able to find a trustworthy automotive care shop is really, really important. So this is our friends from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. And just about a second here left. Guys, want to give your website one more time and a phone number?
Absolutely. Affordable Automotive at Gulf Breeze. Affordable Automotive, GulfBreeze.com. And of course, we're located at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. And we can always be reached 850-932-0811.
All right. Great to have you here, Ken and Kenny Chartel, Sarah,
thank you,
Joe.
Meg.
The whole gang was in the house this morning.
Thank you, Meg. It's a pleasure. And be safe out there on that happy highway.